I'm probably going to say this way too much, but it's one of my favorite times of year.
When is not your favorite time of year? That is a bigger question.
Tax season. Sure. But it's breakup, so I have mixed emotions about it being an Alaskan.
True.
But I would say, you know, still taxes.
I mean, when you're doing taxes, it's ice fishing.
Yeah, but I don't want to mix
I mean, you could also say, like, you know, hunting season is election season, so, I mean, you don't want to leave the...
Yeah, we don't want to get political. Yeah, that'd be bad. Well, right. I mean, you know, not too political anyways. Well, But, no, I mean, it's unique in Alaska because most people are not thinking about what we're thinking about at this point in time. They're busy out running around, gallivanting around, chasing their animals, and yet we're pretty much done. There's still some deer hunting. There's still, you know, folks that have drawn some tags.
Those are some specific things, the general...
But vast
even waterfowl is over.
Yeah, vast majority of guys, we're guns are put away, and we're maybe go to the range, but
yeah,
they're pretty much done. But
watching
it's,
on the Facebooks where all the guys are the interwebs, and the guys are asking, "Hey, where's open water for ducks? And is there anything flying?" And everyone's saying everything's locked up, iced up.
Well, and but that's it is what it is. But it's that time of year where we, as some of us that like to prepare ahead, start thinking about next season, and it's the great Alaskan lottery, since we don't have a lottery up here.
Right.
We call it the draw tag system.
Yeah.
Which is...
where we essentially pay our dues to not do anything. Well, not to not do anything, to... what do we call it? Donating to the state.
Or is it our stupid tax? I need to drink a beer on the stupid tax thought.
Right. What are you drinking there, Dave?
It's a mother ale. From Denali Brewing.
I think I'll join you in that one. Nice little blonde. Everyone loves a good blonde.
I can't disagree. It's good beer. That actually is.
I like that one. That is good.
I mean, it's a nice, smooth, easy drinking beer.
I like how we say that, and both our wives are brunettes.
Yeah. Well, remember, earlier today we were out working in the garage, and what did my wife say? She gave me some kind of a
smart. Got your blonde or something.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. And then she had some kind of a smart aleck comment, or maybe I did. I don't know. You know,
it probably went back and forth.
Yeah, it did. But draw tags are, I'm going to say, unique in Alaska compared to, say, the lower 48.
So I've never, ever done anything in the lower 48 as far as tags, as far as points, as far as anything. I grew up hunting Alaska.
The part I think most people need to understand is, like, when you say, if a guy tells you what unit he hunts. So say, for example, take Brian.
Sure.
He says, well, he's a unit 13 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not like he's giving you anything special.
That's
it's
true.
Like, it's like 100 air miles by 120 air miles or something stupid like that. So, I mean, it's 100 by 100, right? Square miles of nothing but desolate, you know, open
tundra
and rocks. And, you know, so it goes from ridges to tundra to Lake Louise to Tok on one side to butting up against... the gateways to Denali. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's
that's Cantwell.
Yeah, right. But for those that don't, you know, go away. Yeah.
Because they know where Tok is.
Well, you know what? Semantics, my friend. Semantics. But like 16A, where we went this year for moose, it's the size of Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're saying anything necessarily special when you say, oh, I hunt 13 or I hunt 16 or whatever it is. In the lower 48 where I was at, if I told you I hunted the Trask unit in Oregon, like that's a, relatively speaking, a small area. Like, it's a county, county and a half. So we're talking, 30, 40 miles would be huge, wide. You know, I mean, most of it's probably 5 to 10 by 5 to 10.
Yeah, I know guys that cover that on their quads a day to go to their, you know, in their hunting area.
Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, so we would go from unit to, I mean, so literally I would travel in a day when the pickup. I mean, you could travel through 4 or 5 units, all with different rules.
Yeah.
Western Oregon, although for deer and elk, have very similar rules. But, like, you know, some random road is the legal boundary between Trask and the next one, and you could be on one side, could be a you're legal, the other one you can't. So you have to let them cross the road, literally, so you can shoot them, gravel road somewhere. The other thing that's really different about the lower 48, at least for Oregon and Washington, in particular, that's where I come from, so that's what I speak to, is so the western side is like it is up here. It's over the counter, go down, get your rifle, get your tags, go hunting. Eastern side, where it's where the mule deer are at, and the elk are out where you can really see, that's where they kind of limit it because you could really clean up.
Yeah.
But usually what you do is you throw in for, so say you want to do an antelope hunt in Oregon, and you throw in for it, and you pay your $10 blood money just like we do up here. I think it's 10 or 15 bucks, $6, per tag or whatever it is. And if you don't draw, you get a preference point. So the way that works, is that if you don't draw for, say, 10 years, and on the 10th year, when you put in for your one tag of an, say your antelope tag, right? Rather than just getting one, your name once in the hat, your name goes in 10 times.
10, yeah.
And so you have a higher percentage of drawing, which is different than Alaska, because Alaska says, we don't know anything about last year, and this year is its own year, and you get to put in, and you could just be the unluckiest poor guy out there.
Oh, I know,
and
never draw. I've talked to guys who have put in, like I said, donated to the state for 10 years and never got anything.
Right. But it is different up here in the sense that you're either looking for something very specific mm-hmm. with these, or it's a very specific animal. Most everything is available up here over the counter.
So with that being said, though, everything is available over the counter with very, very heavy restrictions.
True.
So you can't just go get a moose over-the-counter moose tag and go shoot any moose you see.
Correct. You have to do the brow tine restrictions and everything.
Is, and, man, when you're talking, sometimes that can be difficult when you're...
So, like, for example, yeah, well, I agree. Like, you see moose, but they're not legal. You know what I mean? That happens all the time. Yep. Guys go, yeah, I just passed on because it wasn't a legal moose.
Yeah, and we saw it was a beautiful, 40-incher when we were out cruising around.
Oh, yeah, 40. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't put it 45, but 40-ish. Yeah. If it was 45, I'd be shocked. But
yeah, I would agree with that.
Still, it was a beautiful animal, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, you'd had to pass on that and gone, that really sucks, because that was potentially my only opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, depending upon how good of a hunter you are and how much time you got.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The time, I think, is the big one.
Yeah, time. And, you know, being in the right locations.
Yeah.
Even in the lower 48, so like, for example, we could get a over-the-counter tag, but they restrict your antlers just like they do up here. So okay. My elk hunt one that I went on, though I had the, it was a three-pointer better.
Okay.
So you couldn't just shoot raghorns.
Got it.
Other places you could shoot raghorns. You know what I mean? So again, just like Alaska, it varies. People complain about how difficult these regs are to master, and I kind of go, I feel like they're very similar to Oregon or very similar to Washington. Just
you have to put the energy and time into reading it.
True. Won't disagree.
And that's where I think people get frustrated, is like you spend so much time preparing for your hunt and planning and thinking, but they neglect to necessarily study the regs and put that time into understanding and knowing exactly what they're hunting, where they're hunting.
Because a lot of guys don't think about what it's like to talk to the troopers.
And a trooper will straight up tell you, it is your responsibility to know the laws.
Right.
It is not my responsibility to make sure you know the laws. It's my responsibility to make sure you follow the laws.
Right, exactly. And they're just trying to do their job. They're not trying to be, you know, and most of them have been very nice that I've dealt with. I've been more than cordial, more than fair.
Yep.
But they do have a job to do, and their job is to protect wildlife mm-hmm. for the wildlife troopers. But
yeah,
up here it's so let's just cover Alaska really quickly. They have a supplement that they put out, usually in the November timeframe. Has to be in by the December the 15th if you want to. 5 o'clock, no
less. End of the lottery, yep.
End of the lottery, do it online.
And I think the worst part about that is you put all these things in, you have your little list of dreams and where you want to go and what you want to get, and you're just thinking about that moose or that caribou or that sheep or mm-hmm. that bear. You're like, oh, and then you put everything in, you pay your money, and you have to wait until, was it August? April.
No, it's before then. It's still a bloody long time for something that goes into a computer that they should be able to spit it out in like a day.
It's like,
what are they doing with it?
It's like beginning of April. It's like April 1st or April 3rd or something like that.
Yeah, let me see if I can't find that information. Yeah. But anyways, so we put in for it every year, and it put in, and it's, how do I put it? Like, you get one draw entry per. So what is unique? So what I mean by one entry per is that you throw into whatever it is you want to. You can do a moose, you can do a caribou, you can do a... And you don't get any of those extra preference points. There's no points.
No preference points in Alaska.
But on the same token, which is unique, at least with the Oregon and Washington, in Oregon and Washington, you couldn't select the same. So say, for example, I only want to be able to do hunt the caribou unit 13mm-hmm. draw permit hunt.
Yeah.
And that's the only one I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Here in Alaska, I could take all six of my potential little possibilities, and I could put them all in that bucket.
So you have six caribou draws that you can put in for.
Right. But
it could be either six different or six the same.
Right. Versus like Oregon, Washington, that had to be different.
Yeah.
And so at least when I did it. And so you would have to literally go, okay, here's my option. And most of those hunts, they essentially, if you didn't draw your first one, you didn't draw them. You know what I mean? Because there was just so much competition that you either drew your first one or you didn't.
And that's something that changed recently, because it was good. Goodness, I don't remember exactly when they changed, but when you put in for their tags, when you used to put in for your tags, they would ask you, what's your first choice?
Mm-hmm.
What's your second choice? What's your third choice?
They still do. They say, what's your first, second, third, fourth.
But you can put in, mm-hmm. Six.
Mm-hmm.
My first, second, third choice is this.
Boom. Right.
And you can do all six on that one hunt.
Hasn't worked for me yet.
No, and that's the thing that kind of throws me too. Like, well, okay. What? And I'd love to know if you put all six on DC 480,
mm-hmm.
which is draw caribou 480, how many times do, if you get that tag, was it your first one you put in, your second or your third or your fourth?
That's an interesting preference. Yeah, I don't know.
Or did you just happen to get it on your first one that time, like you would have if you had done spread your tags out over a nice wide variety of caribou?
Unless they just put your name. So, I got to wonder if they don't do this and that is. So, say, for example, your caribou hunt, you put in your name in the hat six times.
Yeah.
If they just put you in six times, and then as you draw, boom. Because I do know that if you draw your name, so say, for example, you're the first person that gets drawn, and then you're the second person that gets drawn, you only get one tag. So they throw your name out.
Yeah.
The second one.
Yeah.
So, but
it's not like you get six tags for a caribou. You just get one caribou tag.
Winter must really do something to your head, because it's the, according to the, it's a supplement right here at the top.
Okay.
Back to reading our regulations, right? Draw results will be announced the third Friday of February in bold print.
Huh.
It feels like forever.
It feels like forever.
Don't worry, I have the exact.
What's in April? Or I can't even think what month I was talking about earlier.
You were thinking it was like a great April. I think the problem is with April is we start opening up for bear season.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Bear registration.
Bear registration starts on the first.
Yep. That's what I knew. There was something that I have to go to the fishing game for something in.
Because you can't register your bait site anymore in 2 weeks before the start of the season, which is the 15th of April.
Yeah, I knew there was something in April. I was like, God, what is it?
Why do I have to go see those guys every year?
I know. And they don't even know my name yet.
You would think they'd be better than that.
Right?
It's not like there's that many of us up here.
So, but still, I mean, you put in for, you're waiting 2 months, essentially, to know what hunt you get.
Yeah.
Which just.
sucks a donkey's uncle, as they say. But so my thoughts on, there is so much, so my thoughts on Alaskan hunting as far as draw goes, I always look at it in terms of, is there something that I can't get or something that I really want? So for example, I know I can get a moose tag virtually anywhere I want, that it's available. And so my point is that I kind of go, what, for me to put in for it, I have to have some kind of a gain. And the gain could be closer to the house,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a fur tag. I know. Good concept. I like fur tags because we use those in Oregon a lot. We would just
antlerless.
Antlerless. Yeah. And then the nice thing is you have, so in the state of Alaska, you're allowed to walk out into the out there with a regular moose harvest tag and your antlerless. And if you shoot your antlerless, you notch that one. Now that automatically null and voids your regular, because you're allowed one moose.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice because the first legal thing you see, you can shoot.
Not disagreeing with that at all. I look at similar.
And there is some things that you can't go over the counter for, like a bison tag.
Which
one of my coworkers actually drew one last year. She drew one.
Yeah.
And they got it. Yeah, she was complaining about having to eat bison heart, and it was just so rough.
Some people's kids.
Yeah, she was truly suffering.
Did you tell her you take it off her plate for her and make her just a little bit happier?
There was something that I probably shouldn't say, even though we're allowed to swear, because the FCC doesn't really regulate podcasts. But she had some unpleasant words. She had a lot of fun with her husband out there hunting, and they really enjoyed it.
That's good.
But yeah, it's
and that's a weird hunt too, because it's not like weird. You don't feel like, if you're gonna go hunt a moose, you're gonna go out in the middle of nowhere. You're gonna try and get back as far as you can. You're gonna sit on some ridge top out there, and you're gonna glass, and you're gonna glass, and you're for bison. You start calling farmers in Delta Junction.
Right.
You say, hey, I got this tag. I'm looking to hunt. Can I, you know, hunt your property? And they're like, hey, yeah, sure. It's gonna, you know, and a lot of them have a fee. They're like, you can hunt my property for X amount a day, because they know this is where the bison hang out. Is mm-hmm. right around that Delta Junction area where those farmers are, and they want you to come hunt their fields because they bison chew up the land, and they're
they chew up the apparently they got lucky in the sense that they were coming along and the farmer said, yeah, they just tore down my fence there on the far ridge.
Yeah, and a lot of farmers will do that, just right over there, go take them.
And I guess supposedly this farmer does have a bison that's like in with his cattle, and his cattle adopted it, and it's like thinks it's one of the cows.
That's
but it's kind of like lame on one leg, and so it kind of always has been for years now. Like
gotcha.
It's about 4 or 5 years old now, I guess. And
at what point is that now your bison?
Technically, it's a bison, so therefore it's never yours.
Yeah,
but he does apparently. The comment that she was said is that if you know any other bison hunters that want to take an animal, like just straight up freezer food.
Yep.
I got one for you.
There you go. But yeah, that's I know a guy who he got that tag and he just called around, started asking farmers where there's bison, and a lot of them will, for a fee, they'll let you hunt their property, and with that fee comes use of their tractor.
Right, which is
huge.
And
they will, you go out, they're like, they're right out over there, they go over here, you shoot the animal, they'll come out with their tractor, load the thing up, help you cut it up, put it in their truck for you, and off you go.
It's not much hunting, it's more sneaking up on your food. Right. Just a set of Freddy's.
Here's the kicker. He spent about a week, and all that goes into the time and the money and everything, hunting these guys' land. On there, didn't find anything. Didn't see dang animal. On the way home, he just happened to look up a power line run. And there they were, which just happens to be off the guy's property. So he goes up there and takes his animal. Now he's off property, and the guy's not going to come out and help him load it up and do anything. So him, his wife, and his three kids humped out a bison for, you know, about 200 yards.
Farther than you probably really want
with
to.
With a bison.
Yeah, a bloody big animal, too.
And his wife's not very big either. She's a teeny little thing. It's like, oh, goodness.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a, so, you know, so I think about hunts like that. I also think about, like, the, you know, the tote tag for sheep hunt, which is like world class. You talk to sheep hunters and they talk about like that is like a draw tag. And
see,
I always,
you keep throwing this tote tag out.
Supposedly it's supposed to be the tag.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
But I feel like almost obligated to try for it.
Okay. I feel like that's one of those things that I will be obligated to try for it when I know I can hike my fat butt up a mountain.
But I'm working out now.
Yeah. Can you get up to the top of these hills out here?
Well, I have 10 months to prepare.
In 10 months right now, do you think you get to the top of those
absolutely.
Five times
absolutely.
In a week?
Absolutely.
Well, put in for it. I won't be going with you.
Well, come on. Somebody's got to run base camp.
No. I'll go hunt something else somewhere else.
Well, there you go. All right. There. Well, fair enough.
I get it. For me, a sheep, that's one of those, like, man, it would be cool. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I have to have a freezer full of stuff, and I have to have exhausted a lot of other things.
Well,
that,
the advantage to most sheep hunts and even goat hunts is that it's that early August hunt. Advantage is that it's right after dip net, so I'm not trying to fill my freezer with dip netting, but it's before all your real big moose stuff, your big moose push.
Yeah.
Now, the downside is if you do get the toke tag and you go, okay, I have one vacation to take, so to speak.
There's
that's
wise
the kicker.
In it. It's like I have to be okay not going after my moose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to get a sheep, which is
cool.
Cool, but it's not big. Yeah. It's not a freezer filler.
Yeah, true.
So, and nothing
disagree.
Against sheep hunters. I think getting a sheep is awesome. And I have buddies who have taken sheep, and I know sheep hunting guides that do some awesome stuff. But for me, that one right there is that's a wall hanger hunt. That's
true.
What I'm going for. I'm not going for meat.
That's true. That is definitely you're taking a quality animal. That's not a quantity. That's a quality.
Yes. So when I'm thinking, what am I spending my time and energy and money on as far as draw tags? That is not one of them in my immediate thought process.
Right. Well, but I mean, I'm looking at the moose tags, looking through those. We kind of have options as far as we really were thinking hard about hunting circle this year. So this is the other thing that comes into this when you start doing your draw tags and you start looking at them is what are your general plans for the next hunting year?
Mm-hmm.
So where are you
Absolutely.
Thinking about going?
My number one thought is because Circle Alaska, when you look at their, I got to get back to my regulations here. When you go back up, so, you know, unit 25,
mm-hmm.
their moose, so there is caribou up there.
There is.
Right? So you have caribou, and
it's open. It's
all
legal.
Harvest tag. Now, I believe in that area, you can only hunt caribou or you can hunt moose. You cannot carry both tags in one pocket. So, I'd have to look through this here.
I don't remember that, but okay. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
It comes with the 40-mile herd stuff when you look at the 40-mile herd regulations.
Okay.
Because that is such a huge caribou herd, and there's so many of them up there. It almost comes out as like you're almost guaranteed to get an animal.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. I knew, well, good goodness, there's a group of five or six guys who went up to that area. They went up closer. They went up the chicken side, I think Taylor Highway. And it was many animals back in there. So I believe it does say in there, I'd have to look it up.
I'm trying to see if I can't find it on the fly here, but I'm not finding it one way or the other.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Nonetheless. So you have caribou in the area.
Let's just assume you can't get a caribou for whatever reason. We're up there moose hunting. Just because that would be the primary focus, I would argue.
Yeah.
Not that, but I don't know. Right? Moose, caribou. Oh.
I go for, you know, if I have them standing right next to each other and I am purely in the mindset of I need to fill a freezer, I'm pulling the trigger on the moose.
Yeah, true. But I love good caribou.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but. There's,
yeah.
Moose are they're a bloody big animal. So
they're a big animal. You know, it might actually.
It may have changed, too. That may have been a rule back in the day.
It may have changed.
Because we've gone through stuff like this where you say, oh, there's this rule. And I kind of go, I don't remember reading that. And then yep. we go, oh, wait a minute. Bet you that was, you know, from years ago.
Or it could be 20 instead of 25. Because a 40-mile herd does go through unit 20.
Right. It may be something specific to that.
Anyway, nonetheless, get up in for moose
mm-hmm.
in around Circle Hot Springs or Central Hot Springs and Circle. You're any bowl.
Which, you know, let's be honest about it. What's the word I'm looking for? It's your chances of seeing a spike or a fork or, I mean, literally any bull are pretty good that you'll see. Something like that 40-incher would have been.
Oh, man, that would have been
down.
Beautiful. He would have taken him in a heartbeat.
He was perfect.
He was gorgeous.
Of course, my buddy Steve, he took absolute toad.
Yeah.
Toad up near there in an any bull unit right off the road. Like, he was literally out there having a good time. He went on a grouse hunt, I think he was saying.
Of course.
Just, you know, and he says, you know, it's just him. So he, like, just hunts for fun.
Yeah.
And now it's him and his girlfriend. And, you know, so they have plenty of meat. And so he's like, yeah, just threw my 300 Win Mag in there just because, you know, why not? I got a moose tag in my pocket and roll around the corner and there's a big old moose, you know. So he blasted it.
People like that, man, they just.
Well, he's also retired from the military,
the
you know.
Luck that some people have.
Yeah. Some people's children, right?
Yep. Anyway, so Circle. 25 C and D, I believe.
I'm looking at it right now. It's mostly 25 C. Yes, there is some D, but
yeah,
essentially it is, call it C.
Yeah, looking at that, it's any bull.
Which, you know, any bull is not bad when you start thinking about it. It's just, so, but again, that's nothing you have to draw for.
Exactly. You just get your harvest tag and go up there because, you know, when in the regs it says HT, harvest tag.
Right.
That's all you have to do is get your harvest tag.
But there's no. There is no antlerless tag up there. So the question I have to ask about moose is, are we willing to put in for an antlerless tag, say, you know, off of 20-mile river, you know, towards Turnagain Arm south of us versus and potentially just having to change it all up to go after an antlerless tag? Or do we say.
I think what you need to be at this point in the game, like you start dreaming right now of your hunts. Mm-hmm. You don't make your plans until February.
Oh, agreed. But so, my point is if we drew antlerless tags. Even worse, we draw an antlerless tag between the two of us. Do we say, gee, we're going to go hunt that area? Or do we say, because the nice thing is that when you have an antlerless tag, you also have that bull tag in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So if we happen to bump across one, you can blast the bull, too.
Yeah. But even an antlerless, you know, you're talking about a cow. The cow we got on the road killed, she was what, 400 pounds of meat?
Yeah, plus or minus.
Yeah. 400 to 500 pounds of meat.
I mean, it's not like it's nothing to sneeze at. Don't give me
a small animal. Or not a small animal.
Yeah. Small animal. What are you hunting? Mammoths?
Right? Oh, man.
But I think about things that I'm going to apply for, and I kind of go, the antlerless tag, I like antlerless just because it does open up more opportunities.
So when I look at what, you know, that per se, where are there moose that I see frequently that I can get to quick?
Well, the downside is if you look in like the valley, is that there, a lot of that's weapons restriction, which we haven't talked about, which is a whole nother thing. So if you want to hunt a weapons restricted hunt in the state of Alaska and you want to apply for it, you have to have your certification in your pocket before you're allowed to apply. So, for example, I can't say I want to go get my muzzle loading, you know, permit and I want to go take the class and all that. I can go take it. That's fine. But I have to have that in my hand before I'm allowed to apply for the special use.
Not disagreeing, but if you look at something like DM-400, DM-410, those are all one antlerless moose by permit in the valley, in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough area, that are not weapons restricted.
Right, exactly. But I mean, so I would say the valley is probably a good area.
Now, there are certain parts of that, because I've had one of those tags before, and it was just an area that was... You almost had to cross through somebody's property
mm-hmm.
and then across a river to get to where you could at least have a decent chance of hunting. And it just was not the greatest tag ever.
Right. What I find with a lot of antlerless tags, this is true of the lower 48 as well, which is just kind of humorous to me.
Yep.
They make a lot of these tags because people complain, oh, I need, there's too many moose on the road, there's too many deer on the road, there's too many whatevers, right? And so they go in and they try and eliminate them by having hunters go in there and just kind of take care of the problem and cull the herd. Problem you run into is that they have no access, or they don't want to grant access to their property, or, you know what I mean? Those are your issues. Or where they do put the tag up, it's some rotten, nasty hellhole that nobody wants to go in.
Well, I think
for whatever reason.
If you look at the way they break it up for the Mattsu Valley, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily that. It's just they just split the whole valley up into regions.
Right.
And they have so many antlerless tags in the area. Now, right. I just happened to get a crappy one.
Right. Well, but you get my point, too, yeah. In terms of it's that's not what I would call uncommon.
But if you look at, if you get an antlerless tag for, let's say, the Maud Road area or the Palmer Hay Flats or Knit Goose Bay Road, those are great ones.
Which is where things like Onyx really help you because, man, the thing save your bacon.
Right. You know exactly how to get in and out of areas, right. And it's just fantastic. We were just in a spot where it was not the greatest timing.
Right.
It was...
Lots of issues.
Yeah. So I look at putting in for those, the DM400s, the DM... Well, let's see. What's the list here? DM400, 410, 416.
Now, the nice thing about the state of Alaska, they tell you the number of applications received and the number of permits available and your percentage.
Oh, you're going to get
just... Hold on. 410. Here you go. There was 7,100 people, almost 72,
yeah,
for 125 tags.
Yeah.
2% draw tags.
Absolutely.
And we're going to spend our money
on that. But here's the problem is if you hear that and you go, well, why would you put in for that? Okay, so what was the one we looked up earlier?
The
it was like
DM570?
I think it was DM570.
Yeah, well, there were 68 tags put in for it.
Yep.
20 tags available for a 29% success drawing your tag.
Yeah, that tag is on the very far western part of Alaska. You have to fly from here to Bethel, get on a smaller plane, and fly out to the little village, and then from the village you have to get outside the village enough that you can shoot the animal.
I want to look at one of these. I'm going to look at the DB690.
Okay.
AK tag, hold on a second.
The bear?
No, it is a...
DB is draw bear.
Is it draw bear?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So, the DB690 brown bear drawing hunt, it is out by, oh, sweet Jesus, it's out in 22E. So, it is, I'm looking at it right now on the map, it is by Port Clarence. Yeah, it's over there by Little Diomede. Yeah, way out there.
Yep, way up above Nome.
You can guarantee to get that, to draw that tag.
Yeah.
There's several of these out here that they literally had nobody apply for.
Here's the thing, though. You're going to spend a lot of money getting out there.
And, and the downside is, too, is that to get all the way out there to get a quality animal, you would have to have a guide, like to know that you're going to get on a...
Maybe. I think that some of those areas out there... I guess if you're out there...
Well, when we spend money, now we need the quality now has to go up.
Yeah.
If I go out in my backyard, practically, and go shoot a bear, I can get a quality animal that I'm okay with.
Yeah.
It's just a solid bear.
No, okay, I agree.
I'm looking more...
If you're going to spend that much money to go that far away, you're going to have like the one that you want to put up in the glass case.
Right.
Yeah. Get you. Totally get you.
But the one I'm really excited about, the one I love to draw the most, is the draw tag for Unit 13 caribou. It's just the most accessible caribou to us as a rule. Absolutely. And I'm not restricted to going in on... the whole tier one thing and subsistence piece, and I can probably get my animal out of there.
Mm. Now, the holy grail of that is when you're talking about Unit 13, is do the DC 485, which is the draw caribou for unit for that whole area. The next one is, where is it?
Is it 485?
No, it's DM 325.
Is that the any That's moose?
Any moose. One antlerless moose. In Unit 13.
Yeah, but you have to prove that you live off the land so much. And
no, that's a draw.
Was that the draw?
Yeah, D, draw moose.
325, you say?
Yep, 325.
You know, this dumb thing cut it off. We tried to print this out ahead of time so I could be, prepared. And, of course, it did.
Yeah, well.
You know how it is.
Technology, man. Just fails you again. Draw. Now, that's, the holy grail of tags. And it is not a high percentage chance of getting it. What's the DC? I'm gonna look up because the draw caribou. What did I say? 485, right?
Yeah.
Draw caribou 485. You know, you get 26.
Wow. So the draw caribou
tags.
Well, no, the draw the no. DC 485, right? I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
Last year they had 38,000 people apply for it.
Yep.
And they had 5,000 tags. 13%, which is not bad.
I'm looking at a different thing here because that's not what this says. Anyway.
Oh, I know why. Again, one must pay attention. What's the year on yours?
It's a great question. I gotta scroll all the way up to the top of this. No,
it should say right at the top. 2020, 2021. I'm looking at the 2019 stuff.
I see.
There's your problem.
There's your problem.
Oh, some people's children.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had a lot less. And I can tell you why that was, because the 19, mm-hmm. 2018, 2019, they had a huge boom in that herd. They had a lot of animals taken out of there. They gave out a lot of tags
because mm-hmm.
they were trying to control a herd population. Well, we had that bad winter, and that herd migrated and changed and merged with the 40 mile, and that herd number dropped substantially in the 2019.
Yes, it did.
So they had to change what they were doing, how many tags were given out last year. So, and that's one thing also with Alaska is this is all based on animal numbers.
Right, which so, is true even in the lower 48, but
it's very heavily based on it. Like with that specifically is you're never guaranteed the same kind of numbers that you maybe right. had seen last year.
Right, so it will change based on hunting success and all exactly. that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, so 26,491 tags given out.
No, that's 26,000 people applied for it.
Yeah,
400.
Sorry. 400 tags were given, 2% chance.
Hmm.
And that's for the caribou.
Yeah, right. DM325?
I believe so.
Yeah, 4,100 people for 10 tags.
Yeah. It's like it's the holy grail up, because now you can go up to Unit 13, which, let's say, it's what, a six-hour drive?
Nah, I can get to Bush Con in 4 hours. I might drag race a little bit with my truck.
I was going to say, I mean, you can get to Fairbanks in 3 if you really wanted to.
Yeah, back to the troopers again. They might have something to say about that.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, it's a half-a-day drive, and then you have any caribou, any moose, and you can take one of each.
Yes, please.
Right? That's the holy grail of hunting, of Alaska tags.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to get those two.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
In 13, like, okay. It's easily.
Let me rephrase that, because I think that one, people could be like, bleh, on that one. Like
right.
The grumpy old
sure.
pissy dude. Most people in Alaska will consider that the average Joe hunter, that right. is the holy grail of tags.
And there's a lot of guys that we know and hunt with and hang out with on a regular basis mm-hmm. that are, well, 13 guys. Like, that's just where they hunt. That's where they do yeah. their thing.
So the biggest thing with that is, in 13, because that is a fairly local caribou herd,
mm-hmm.
they have a subsistence hunt out of it.
Right, and that's what gets them to...
So you basically say, this is where I get my meat. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to take one caribou. That's how I feed my family. I don't hunt anywhere else. That's just what I do. And you're guaranteed to get that tag.
The other thing is, too, is that it's also... There's a lot of public... I mean, Alaska's full of public property.
Yeah.
But there's some areas have lots of restrictions on public property. For example, the Chugiak National Forest. You can't just go tearing around it with an ATV like you can Unit 13. You can go, you know, raise cane if you wanted to.
True.
You know what I mean? So it's...
Yep.
There is that kind of advantage, if you will.
Big, big area that you have a lot of space to move around in.
I mean, guys guide out of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, it's not that there's not trophy animals out there. I guarantee there's
beautiful animals out of there.
Yeah, a lot of trophy animals.
Yeah.
A lot of quality animals out of there.
So that's not the point. The point is it's fairly close.
Mm-hmm.
You can get way back in there without necessarily having to hire a guide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take four-wheelers from one side of it to the other.
Almost. I don't know how you'd cross, well, not the McLaren, but the...
There's the Sioux, the Susitna, and the McLaren that come through there.
Right. The Sioux would be the tough one to cross.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can access either side by roads and then quad out to the either bank,
yeah.
so to speak. But yeah, you can get around it, is my
yeah.
point. You can get around all over in there.
Yep.
But, you know, the other thing you'd think about drawing for is elk up here, if you wanted to. But,
you know,
honestly...
that one is... I mean, we've all seen the Meat Eater boys do their hunt out of there. So I had a friend, I don't know if you know Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Chad's one of them. Have you met Eli?
Mm-hmm.
So Chad and Eli got that tag. Oh, goodness. This was when we were on ADAC. So this was, man.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while. So we were on ADAC while they were on a Fognik. So they got flew down to Kodiak, got weathered into Kodiak. Finally, things cleared, and they got flown out to Efognik, and the elk closed. They didn't see a single elk.
Right. So
they went all the way out there and shot a deer.
Better nothing, well, but...
Sick of blacktail.
But... It's a dog deer.
Might be able to shoot a couple rabbits and get more meat out of it.
Well, that's not quite that bad. Okay, five rabbits. But anyways, we digress.
So, I mean, that hunt is one of those, again, in my head, for Alaska, that's almost one of those wall hangers hunts.
And, you know, the funny part is, I think about it and I kind of go for, you know, by the time you get all the way out to Kodiak, unless you have a boat or you know somebody, right?
Let's you have the charters or you have to...
Right. But like if you knew somebody, it might be different. But for me, where I don't know anybody that is into the charter or has a plane or a boat big enough.
Yeah.
I kind of go, I mean, I'm going to blow $600-$700 getting out there and back.
Or more.
I could fly to Seattle and rent a car and go elk hunting in rural Western Washington.
And again, I think that's one of those like, and it's the wall hanger for the point of this was an Efognik elk.
Right. Sure.
This is not it may not be like a trophy elk by most standards, but. This is an Efognik elk because...
You're right, but you get my point in terms of, you know, I can... Of course, coming from Washington, you know, the Washington area, I could probably get on elk there on a fairly consistent basis by comparison to other things.
It's the same as, like, saying you're going to go after a Kodiak grizzly.
Right.
It's not necessarily because it's a grizzly. It's because it's a Kodiak grizzly. Right. I can go outside in our backyard and get a grizzly.
Literally. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Three of them went across the neighbor's front porch, literally. Look at the garages they went by.
It can happen, but there's something about the Kodiak grizz.
Right, sure.
That makes it a trophy.
Well, but they're also bigger than, I mean, just they physically are usually some of the largest animals out there as far as bears go. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But I look at what I want. Will I put in for the elk? No, because by the time I pay the money, I just know I'm not going to have that kind of money to afford it. I mean, I suppose I probably could by working overtime and things like that, but that's just more time away from family that I don't know that I want to spend like that just so that I can go spend it on myself, essentially.
If I had the resources down there in place, then I would consider it.
Yeah.
Not having resources, that's something. It's just, you know, it's
just not my thing.
Yeah. I'd love it. I think it would
it'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be an amazing hunt. I'd rather do that over a sheep hunt, honestly.
Okay. I could see that. I would argue you'd probably work just as hard enough to do just as much climbing.
Oh, I know. But there's something about that place.
So Steve knows a guy that goes out of Homer and boats over. I mean, he's got a, like his small boat is 42 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, must be rough, right?
Right.
But he can quote unquote deckhand for him, I guess, and help him out around the boat. And he gets free, you know, so he's going over to do some deer hunting over there.
Okay.
And so he's going to take two or three deer and life's going to go on and
whatever.
But he, I mean, in his case, he could get that and he knows those kinds of folks. So it would be a little different for a guy like him.
Totally different.
Versus
completely different.
You know, so again, it's all in who you know. That's this, 9 times out of 10 up here. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Speaking of who you know, Mike from work, he flew over to the other side of the Cook Inlet to like the...
Oh, the flats?
Over to the flats over there. Yeah, so sitting in the flats. Yeah. 2 hours, and then they had to make it harder on themselves. I'll leave it at that. They limited. Yeah.
Ducks.
Ducks,
yeah. Not an elk.
No, not an elk. Sorry, yeah. They had a jump there. Probably should have said something. Yeah, they limited on ducks. But they had, you know, plane and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He knows a guy with 3 planes, so. Like, 3 planes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have 3.
Well, there's multiple different planes for multiple different uses.
Or the guy just... likes planes and wants more planes.
Well, you need your little, like, you know, thing to get in and off of gravel bars, and then you need a bigger one to be able to, you know, maybe haul your friends and family around, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You need your different, leer. Different things for different stuff.
Yeah, you need your leer to go to the lower 48 occasionally.
Obviously.
God, it must be nice.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well.
But, yeah, so, I mean, there's not, I mean, but the advantage, too, is that if you missed out on the Great Alaskan drawing of 4 tags, you're not really missing out on much, I guess is my point. It gets you a little more privileges in terms of what you can and can't do, but if you missed out on it...
So I'll go with, depends on what tag you get. Now, if you're saying, I'm going to go get any tag in Alaska, and you get, you know...
But my point is you can go out and have a quality hunt, have a lot of fun, enjoy the heck out of yourself, and have an honest shot up here at a really good animal, and virtually anywhere. My point is like, for example, we talk about... I say I really want a sheep tote tag. Well, if I really want to go hunt sheep, I don't need the tote tag. There's places you can do it over the counter.
No, I will agree with that. Goats, here's the thing.
Same thing.
So my argument against that would be this. If I want to get a moose out of 13, yes, I can go shoot a moose in 13 with an over-the-counter tag. I will probably have to go farther and spend more time and more energy looking harder, deeper back off the road.
Won't disagree. For it.
Or any moose, and I wander across a young bull who's just
young and dumb,
30 inches and just out there wandering in the Norrisville because he's...
He can. I won't disagree.
I'm more likely to find that one than I am the big guy who's hiding way back in the hills.
Won't disagree. But so, but you get my point in terms of it's not like, for example, there was places that if you want to hunt, like if you want to hunt Eastern Oregon, you want to go after mule deer, you draw for it. If you don't draw it,
you don't hunt. Yeah. So you can hunt anywhere in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, other than, you know, downtown Anchorage and that kind of stuff.
Like, right.
Kind of frown on that. The municipality of Anchorage frowns on it.
Socialists.
I know. Because I tried to figure out if I could hunt geese in downtown Anchorage. Well, or in the municipality of Anchorage. According to the state, there was nothing against it.
Right.
Because it's, you know, federal and state regulated bird. But yeah, there's nothing. But the muni says you can't discharge a firearm inside the city.
Well, how rude.
Yeah. Which just means you have to start figuring out how you can hunt them without discharging a firearm. And then you're legal. There's the wheels turning.
What do they declare as a firearm?
Anything that shoots a projectile, I was told.
Wow. Shoots a projectile. So in theory, a crossbow is still a...
And it's considered a firearm.
Dang it.
Yep. Boy, a bow and arrow, a BB gun, a slingshot. All considered firearms, according to the municipality.
Socialist.
Because I start asking all those questions. Well, what about this? No. I think they start seeing where I was going with it, and they just start, no.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I'm on a list somewhere. Anyway, so when you're talking about tags, though, your tags are going to increase your opportunity and your potential to get the animal that you're looking for.
Oh, agreed.
So you can go get a moose, but like when we were out in you know, 16, and we saw
a moose.
Done deal versus, well, it's a great looking moose, but it ain't legal.
Right, exactly. Well, and I think the other thing it also affords you, like, for example, if you did the sheep toke tag, let's just use that one as an example because it's coming up, is that, well, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go grab a sheep hunt and go hunt 100 other places, they limit the number of folks that are there, which is another...
Agreed.
You know what
with,
I mean? So,
with the sheep tags, though, there are other places you can hunt sheep, but you also have to take a lot of more energy, more right, money to get back into those areas.
I'm not arguing that, but what I'm saying is that... With some tags, the advantage is not so much that you're... Because when you talk about sheep, you're all going after full curl animals.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain restrictions that they essentially put...
That's a whole different beast,
but,
though.
But my point is that with toke, is that it gives you... part of it is access, and then limits the number of hunters. Because if you said, well, anybody can go hunt a piece of property, and you go out there, and there's 10 other guys, which I've seen in the lower 48.
Yeah.
It does happen up here. You know, you see other guys floating around. It's nice to know that you're one of... three dudes on the side of a ridge.
Yeah, but there's very few animals in Alaska that is that way.
Right.
Bison, sheep, I think in certain areas, muskox.
Yeah.
And in some areas, grizzly bear. Like,
right.
I'm, you know, throw out the Kodiak. But there's most of the big hunts, most hunting, you don't have to.
Right.
What the tag does, it doesn't keep you access, like a limited access to it where you're like only one of 10 right. guys doing it. It gives you better access to the animals that are closer to you is sure. really what you're looking at.
Sure.
Because even if you get any antlerless moose tag in Knit Goose Bay, you're going to have 10 other jokers out there looking for Dorky Forky.
Right. True.
You just happen to be the one that can take anything you see.
Right.
So that doesn't necessarily limit you from seeing more people what these tags do.
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess it depends upon the tag, but I do like the thought of some of them do limit. Like,
they're so limited. And those tags are very specific, especially right. animals where it's not like, you know, for moose, let's say, you know,
yeah.
you know, they know there's this many moose. There's, you know, let's say 100 moose, just to throw a number out there. There's 100 moose in this area. We want to see 25 of them taken. We know that even if we give 6 tags, we're probably not going to get that 25. There's going to be enough guys out there wandering around looking for those moose that we're probably going to be okay. Versus the sheep, they say there's in the toke area, there's 35 legal rams.
Right, and we want to take out
10. We're going to take out 10. Here are your 10 tags.
Right.
And they're going to hope they get to that point to manage that herd appropriately. Completely different type of management style.
Oh, agreed. But you... So, I mean, but part of it is either A, I want easier animals, mm-hmm. or I want to limit the access. That's what I look for in a draw tag.
Yeah, but like I said, unless you're going to do sheep, mm-hmm. brown bear and Kodiak,
sure,
or then it's the bison or muskox.
Won't disagree, but then what I'm saying is, then I want to have opportunity in terms of I like fur tags.
That's essentially what you're doing, because if you're going after trophy in Alaska, you're going to be going way, in my view, you're going to be going way back anyway.
Right. Well, you would have to. I mean, because anything close is going to be driven to extinction just because everybody can have the same
access. Tom, Dick, and Harry's out there doing it. Mm-hmm. They all have that HT in their pocket, hunting tag in their pocket.
Yep.
And they're looking for the biggin. So now you might get lucky like Stu and find a beautiful animal right over a ridge 5 miles back. Not likely.
Well, that's Stu.
That's Stu.
And Stu has far better luck than I do.
Yeah, well.
He drives a Dodge. That's why I drive Chevys or Fords. But anyways, you know. But you get my point in terms of, you know, some people are just naturally lucky folks. I'm just not a naturally lucky joker.
Yeah,
I
have to work harder.
I work harder, longer, stronger, meaner, all that stuff. Yeah.
And still get what they get.
Yeah.
So if you're, unless you're looking for a trophy animal like a sheep, like a big bear, like a muskox, like a bison, well, bison trophy and meat. But you are going to be going after tags that are not limited on people.
Right. What are you going to put in for this year? It is draw season. We have till the 15th of December. It's about a month out. And
my go-to is the DC-45, just so Unit 13 Caribou.
Okay.
I normally don't put in for the Unit 13 Moose.
That any moose thing?
The any moose.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't. I probably will this year.
Why not? Let me ask that question. Why not?
Exactly.
What did we say that was? 325, you said? Here we are. We digress.
And then
we
DM 325.
325. I have to look way down here. Yeah. So there's 10 tags offered. 4,000 guys gave their money to the state on that one.
Like I said, it is a...
Yeah.
It's not... I am looking at draw tags in the light of my plan right now, and in all reality, what I'll probably do is hunt circle.
Right.
I'll be 25.
Right, and there is no draw tag up there that we're going to be after.
We're going to go after any bull up there. That is my plan. Now, if for some reason we get something else, fantastic. I'm going to go after those that are going to give me high percentage of getting an animal. Maybe not high percentage of getting the tag itself.
Right, but once you have the tag in hand.
But high percentage of getting an animal.
Right.
So there are specific ones around Matsu Valley, like... down the
gonna,
Big Lake area.
So you're gonna throw yours. So you're gonna do like six different hunts, kind of an approach.
Yeah, more than likely. I still feel like throwing them all on one doesn't necessarily give you any more advantage, especially when you're looking at I'm gonna throw six down on a hunt that has 4,000 some odd hunters doing that.
Well, it's called the lotto for a reason.
I get that. But if I'm gonna win the lotto,
So my worst. Worst and best fear in all of this is mm-hmm. So say for example, because I also have my mom to think about and all this. So my mom is over the age of 65. I'm allowed to proxy for her.
True.
I can proxy on any moose tags, or excuse me, any bull, mm-hmm. antlerless, or any moose tags.
Yeah.
So whatever I do, I essentially double down, but it goes under my mom's name.
True.
Okay. So I kind of go, if I do that any moose, do we throw down? And then when you watch, one of us will draw. Now, my luck, it would be me, because if it was my mom's tag and I drew and my mom drew, you could proxy for my mom. She just has to turn it over to you. It's not a big deal. It's any Alaskan can do it for another Alaskan.
Yep.
But I don't know. I think sometimes just putting all your eggs in one basket and kind of go with it may not necessarily be a bad... I mean, when we're talking, nothing has a...
I don't think there is a, this is the way to do it up here.
No,
it's just... It's what it is.
It's what you think will work.
I go up into the, I would like to do this. I would like to hunt Unit 13. I would like to hunt... You know, the Big Lake area, maybe the Point Mac area, the Knick River drainage.
Sure.
Those are some big ones that I'd like to hunt. I think it would be real, you know, fun, easy. We could do it after work, those kind of things.
So we're going to put in for caribou and moose for sure, because we both kind of have that same kind of attitude about it. Are you going to put in for what we will call, for lack of a better description, the Alaska exotics?
The buffalo?
We'll throw sheep, goat, muskox, and buffalo.
Nope. I might do a buffalo tag because that's just one of those, like, you know, I might get lucky and get a buffalo, but I'm not going to do...
I want to give you some numbers just because this is kind of hilarious to me.
Okay.
So for last year's bison hunt, the bison draw for DI, it looks like 404. I don't have my glasses on, but it shows here that there was 199,000 people put in for that.
Yep.
Okay. With a 55 tags. Now, 199,000, that means one in, so there's 800,000, that's 200. So one in four Alaskans put in for that.
Yeah. So that is, to people who are maybe, if you're kind of wondering, that is Delta Junction, Fort Greeley, Dot Lake.
Road access.
Like, this is such a great road access area, right through just a big, beautiful valley that is a ton of agriculture, big farmland. Like, that is a great place to do it. And on the other side of that is just a big mountain range. So they just sit right in that little area.
They sit down there in the bottom and just kind of do their thing.
So it's a super easy hunt. Like, well, okay, when I say super easy, it's not like, okay, I have to go.
It's as close as you'll get in Alaska to the grocery store without going to the grocery store.
Almost. Like, you don't have to fly four hours back into the bush, land on a little landing strip, and then hike your butt all over the area looking for a moose. It's like, you're just going to drive these roads. You're going to talk to farmers. You're going to do all those things to try and, you know, yeah.
So. But, so, I kind of say how many people put in, like, all six under that one tag. I mean, because I don't know if this is the number of applicants, so.
Well, I'm sure there's people.
I might be crazy enough to be one of those people. Donate my $6.
Yeah, if you're the guy who does this, every year I go to the same place and I get my moose every year because I just know
the area.
Okay, and you have the resources to get to it. Let's say you're a guy who has aircraft,
whatever,
or big, you know, like a Sherpa or a, you know, some big cooch or something, or hovercraft.
Well, there,
that's
a
whole other podcast.
Yeah,
So if and I get my animals every single year, and I don't need to put in for tags to go fill my freezer, I'll put all my six down on a buffalo.
Well, the nice thing is that six. So when we talk about six for a buffalo, it's six for a buffalo, six for a moose, and they don't cross over. Like, you can't buy extra per se.
Yeah,
I will probably do the bison tag.
Now, tag is more expensive. Remember that,
to put in for the drawing.
Yeah,
I remember it being more expensive. It is.
I'm pretty sure it was last year. Most tags are what? 10? 5 or 10?
I thought that was 5.
I want to say a bison tag is $25.
Well, I know you have to buy the locking tag.
No. To put in for the draw tag is $25. I want to say. You looking it up?
I'm trying to here.
Yeah. You just have to go log in and look at the cost of it. You might need your hunting license, though. If you have that memorized, I'd be impressed.
I have my Alaska state ID memorized. But no, my computer remembers my wife. So I'll look up under her.
Huh, there you go. Sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a little more expensive. Mm. And I'm pretty sure it's because everyone and their mother puts in for it. So
they're going to make a little extra.
They're going to make a little cash off of it. Mm. But, you know, in all honesty, this goes to fund our resources that we get to go play out and do. Not just that fishing, hunting, camping, all that stuff out in Alaska. This funds and resources and gives, you know, the state the resources needs to take care of it. I'm okay with it.
Going to randomly select one here and just see what it comes up with. Add to hunting cart. Let's just see what it says.
Which one are you looking at? The buffalo bison?
Yeah, well, it asks for your hunting license number, so.
Oh.
I'm trying to always make one up, see if it does.
No, I'm pretty sure it actually looks at it. Like, it wants to make sure you know what you're doing. But I could be wrong, because I feel like I've tried that. So something else that.
Yeah, it wants an actual one. Yeah. So I don't know what the cost is.
Well.
Hold on. Let me see if I can't find it.
Just going to Google it. So something else that, I don't. So do they have youth only hunts in the Lower 48?
They do.
Now, when you do a youth only hunt, does that count towards the parent tag?
No. So like the kid is. So like for example, you can hunt at the age of 10 here in Alaska, which is lower than anywhere else. Most of the time, it's 14.
Yep.
And so the kid between 14 and 18 can apply for those special youth only hunts, and that is their own tag. So there's no doesn't you know go against you.
So if you apply for your, well, essentially you're applying for your kid for a youth hunt, that will go against your tag. Let's say your kid gets, you know, a youth-only moose hunt out in, you know, the Matsu Valley. And you guys go out and you take a moose. You now are no longer able to go get another moose as the parent.
Interesting, because I know, like, my kid can go hunting with me.
Yes, but and on under the tag.
No,
so on the what? So that's the YM. So anytime you see YM,
yeah, no, so I believe those are their own
or
tags.
Y whatever.
Because over 10, they get their own tags. If you look at the regulations, it says over 10, they get their own They get their own tags. It doesn't go against you. Under 10, so if I took my son out,
yeah,
and he's 7, next year he'll be, you know, that
for the, and that's for the youth hunts. So now,
right, so because the he's youth under 10. Hunt, right? No, but what I'm saying is that under the age of 10, he can't get his own tags. Period. So if he shoots something under the age of 10, it goes against me.
Yeah.
Or whoever he's with.
Now there's specific youth tags, youth hunt tags. So when you put in for it, you can put in for, they all say Y whatever. So YM, YC, whatever. Right. I think they're all, let's see, youth hunt. So there's youth caribou, youth moose. Yeah, youth caribou and youth moose. And that tag, if I remember, pretty sure, goes against the parents' tag.
You're still having fun with your kids, so at a certain point in time, it's more about them anyways. So to answer the other question, as we
get the cost of
with the old Google machine,
yep,
$5 for all hunts except for bison and muskox, which are 10.
Okay.
You know, and at $10, I just kind of go, that's two cups of Starbucks coffee if you drink that stuff. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, you know.
That
yeah. Or
burned crap.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, a few beers, which, yeah.
Or an Alaskan one beer.
Yeah. But anyways, so I think about it. I just kind of go, yeah, I'm going to give my money to him. We'll see what actually comes of it. I suspicion I will get to suck the big goose egg. Mm. It'll be a circle hunt, and it will be hopefully deer hunting next year.
If we can get a boat figured out.
We have a boat. We just have to have it running and going and all that stuff.
True.
The and other issue is this weather windows.
That is the biggest thing when it comes to deer.
Mm.
Talking to Dan, he's like, you have to have everything ready to go, and it's not a planned hunt. It's your hunt is planned for the whole month of October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just ready to go. And as soon as the weather gives you the go, you mm-hmm. you just leave.
You book it.
It's not, well, babe, we're going to go hunting, you know, next weekend we're going to do this. It's like, hey, I'm leaving right now. See ya. Love ya. We're going to go get deer.
Right. Well, but on the same token, like out in the Prince William Sound, it was 6-foot swells plus wind waves.
Dan was wanting to be out there today, and he's like, nope.
It's a little rough
out there. 6.5-foot seas with wind just gnarly. I don't remember what he said what the gusts were, but said it was not fun.
It's enough to where when you have 6-foot swell on any boat that, you know, the normal guy is going to operate, that's no joke. Like, you should be heading for home.
Yeah.
You should have been home.
Well, we were on a... Oh, goodness. It was a halibut charter out of Deep Creek.
Okay.
So, beach launch. And we were getting to the
five. That's a lot of fun. Just real quick, if you guys are sitting around bored one night, you know, drinking a beer, going, I just want to see something really cool, that, you know, just go look up Deep Creek Boat Launch.
Yep.
And watch these guys come in and out. And then some
beach
of them.
Launch.
Well, it's the tractor launch. It's where they take the tractors and launch you.
Yep.
It's a lot.
Take your trailer, your boat on your trailer, and these big, they're what they look like. If you're like trying to figure this out, they look like a road grader converted into a launching truck.
They're old skidders. They're logging skidders, is what they are.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a logging skidder.
There you go.
That's what I went. Oh, they're skidders. Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, no big deal. They got rid of the grapple hook where there they would go. Skid the trees with, and then they installed.
So you connect your boat, your trailer, and they push this, you know. I mean, some of those boats are huge.
Well, yeah. The worst part is not so much that they launch them.
Coming back in.
And then watching those captains.
Dude.
They do it all the time.
Yeah.
Watch them just come hauling in, and then they just cut motors and pull up.
So we're out there, and we weren't that far out. And the captain told us, he's like, well, seas could get bad. We can launch now. The trick is getting in. Because, man, I can motor around, but, you know, we can go down to Homer was what we'd have to do. If they decide to cut the boat beach launch off. Because it's not necessarily all about what the weather is out in the main part of the water. It's what's going on the beach. Because they're concerned about getting you back on with this, you know, the waves crashing. So, with the surf.
And they really don't want you to screw up and put a boat on top of their tractor.
Yeah, really not a good idea. So, he's like, well, we can go out. We're going to go out. And, you know, it wasn't too much. We were in, 2 hours out there. It wasn't long. We launched at like 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, 2-3 hours. We're all pretty much limit on halibut. And he's like, we're about 5-foot seas, guys. Let's head back. And that was no joke.
Mm.
I mean, cruising in, and that was a 35-40 foot
big aluminum, probably
big aluminum well,
probably a 10-foot beam on that thing,
dude.
Nine and a half, anyways.
This was a nice boat. We were coming back in, and I just remember seeing ocean, sky, ocean, sky off the side of that boat as we were cruising along. We got close, and he's like, all right, everyone sit down, pull your feet up. And we had a couple who was out there with us who were from Lower 48. You know, I don't remember. I think they were from, like, somewhere in the,
the middle.
Not around water.
In the middle part.
Middle part. That's the technical term right there. Yeah. The middle part. And they were just kind of had this wide-eyed look of, why would you put your feet up? And my buddy looks at me, he's like, because when we slam on that trailer, you don't want to send shockwaves up through your spine. Their eyes just got wide.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just, oh, my gosh. So we come cruising in on there, and, man, it was just, I remember looking out the front, and it was water, tractor, sky. Tractor, water, tractor, sky. And he came in and just set that thing on there like it was nothing. Just,
but those guys are so good.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I would totally miss that, the whole thing, and just be beached.
Yeah. There's Dave's boat laying on its side over there.
There lies the last idiot that tried to pull this maneuver off. Yeah. Right. But, yeah, draw tags. I'm definitely going to give the state some money.
It's always the donation.
Yeah. I don't ever expect to draw anything.
It's your annual state fish and game tax.
Yep. That I pay in because I just feel like I don't pay enough to them with my hunting license and fishing license.
The benefit of those, though, that it goes right to fish and game department. Like, this money is not going to some bureaucrat's idea of, whatever. Like, this is going to fund the fish and game and promotion of that in Alaska. I'm okay giving that money.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to disagree. Like I said, I will be giving them my... Mm-hmm. My monies, and happily doing so.
Exactly. And trying to explain to the wife, you spent what?
On what?
But you never get anything. Right?
Yeah.
All right, Dave. That. Well, good luck.
Well, likewise, and may the better man draw tags, so I should draw them all.
Right?